Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. On today's program, we'll discuss the latest tech news. 605 SQL director Josh Warren will join us with a preview of next month's SQL Saturday in Sioux Falls. And we'll hear the latest on the Samsung phone issues. Jeff will recap E3, and Joel will talk 3D mobile gaming and Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. Send us an email. It's midday@sdpb.org, or send a tweet to @sdpb. Join the discussion on our Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio, or call now, 800-524-3604. You can email your questions or suggestions to our guests today, Joel Brovelite, John T. Meyer, Amos Asaf, and Jeff Litterick. That email address again, midday@sdpb.org. We'll hear from the panelists and you from SDPB Radio. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to help guide you in a host of areas you may have questions about. The experts are here in the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls. We have Mac guru Joel Brovelite here. Hey, Joel.
Hey.
Amos Asaf over at DataSync is out today. He's has an appointment, so we wish him the best of luck. Have a great weekend. Lemon Lee's John T. Meyer joins us.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
And we'll try to get John turned up here. And from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications, Jeff Litterick joins us from Peer today. And also in the studio, we have a guest today. Josh Warren is here. Josh, your day job is with Fishback Financial or First National in Brookings?
First Bank and Trust.
First Bank and Trust. I'm sorry.
There tries the charm. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. I should probably read what I have written down here, shouldn't I? Instead of just winging it. But you are here because SQL Saturday is coming to Sioux Falls next month.
Correct.
And we want to talk about that. And the first thing we should probably try to explain to people is what SQL is and why it's not a movie, or it is the follow up to a movie, but it's in the tech world, SQL is a whole other thing.
Correct. SQL is the abbreviation, standard query language. It's just a way to write queries against databases, try to pull back information and learn about your customer, maybe improve processes. UPS likes to call it logistics, in a sense, how they improve delivery of their products. It's all about the data that they have stored on the system and how they can retrieve that data, build reports, and analyze it to improve processes and do things more effectively and efficiently.
So you're not the database guy.
No, I'm not the database guy.
You're the analyst guy.
I'm the analyst guy.
So pull from the database.
Yeah, I by the time the data gets to me, it's all clean and friendly, and I just build reports so that managers can make decisions, can understand the day-to-day operations in the business, and make the life better for the customer.
So the group you founded and you're the director of, 605 SQL User Group, your mission is to do what then in South Dakota?
Our mission really is to just serve people who use the Microsoft SQL Server platform to bring them together for networking so that we can collectively share ideas, solve problems that we may be having, and share resources in terms of building our skills to become better at what we do.
Okay, so July 18th is really a free training day then.
Correct. 605 SQL and SQL User Group is a nonprofit organization. It's completely run by volunteers, and SQL Saturday is a national event that's hosted all over the world, actually, at this point. And we're bringing that to Sioux Falls. It's a free one-day training for people to come grow their skills, maybe as a database professional, maybe as a business analyst. We have developers and software developers. Really, anybody who uses the SQL Server platform can probably come and gain something from this event.
Sure. Is it normally a monthly meetup that you have, and this is just kind of one of your bigger events?
Yeah, that, in a sense, SQL Saturday is kind of a separate from our user group, in a sense, but our user group meets monthly on the second Tuesday of the month, and we'll meet at a public library. A lot of times we meet downtown at Main at 6 p.m., and this is kind of a one-time-a-year event, big event, where we draw people from the five-state region. We have speakers coming from all over the country, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Colorado, even a guy coming in from Canada. So it's pretty exciting, the support for this event. And those are volunteers. We don't pay them to come in. They're volunteering on their own dime to come in and show up and help people grow their SQL skills.
That's amazing. Did you have a follow-up to that?
No, I just wanted you to turn me up.
Oh, okay.
For the third time you tried.
Yeah, it was the third time. do you have a web address? Is it easy for people to remember?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to find the event is just go to sqlsaturday.com, And we'll, Sioux Falls event will be on the front page of that, probably listed about 7th or 8th on there. Or you can just search in the events, upcoming events for Sioux Falls, click on that, pull up all the details about the event. The site is easy to navigate once you get there, click to register, review the sessions, who's coming, the abstracts of what they're presenting on and who they are. So there's a lot of great details out there about the event.
Yeah, SQLSaturday.com. I just pulled that up, and it's got Bratislava and Chattanooga, Vancouver, Sioux Falls is in there, Beijing. So you get kind of a sense that this is an international thing, and you're all kind of banding together in a large sense, but then really super locally as well. And that's kind of a cool deal. You see that in other sectors as well, but you don't often hear about that to the, I guess, the tech level that is happening here.
Well, yeah, and we all work in industries that grow and change so fast. There's new trends. There's new hot ways to do different things. And so you got to be able to keep up on your game and learn from others in your field.
Absolutely. And that's one of the goals of the group, is that everybody is using software a little bit differently, the technology a little bit differently. Things are changing. We have people who are first to adapt new systems and processes, and so they can teach other organizations about how they use something, what were some of the issues when they brought that on. And the events help do that as well, because one of our sessions will be SQL Server 2016, which is being rolled out by Microsoft. So you get a first peek at some of the cool new features of this, why you maybe want to invest in that if you're an organization and upgrade to that next greatest level, how it's going to help you. And then also we have a lot of third-party vendors that work with Microsoft. So you can get to see some of the technologies that other people are using to supplement the Microsoft SQL Server to make their day-to-day life easier.
And you've got a couple of, I guess, stars of the SQL world from certification-wise.
Yep.
There to probably present those very looks ahead then.
Correct. Rick Hagees is Microsoft SQL Server MVP. My understanding is there's only about 1,000 of them worldwide, and you have to be nominated by your peers to accomplish this level. So it's great, not only what they've done to achieve it career-wise, but the fact that they get the recognition from their peers. He's going to do our 2016 SQL Server. Paul Timmerman is an MVP out of Minneapolis, and he's going to do a great session for us. And then we also have Steve Jones, who is the founder of SQL Saturday, or one of them, coming to South Dakota. He likes to attend the first event in each state, so we're very fortunate to have him coming, doing a session. And actually, that group of people is also going to be on a panel talking about how to grow your SQL Server skills and develop and grow into a profession where it takes a lot of energy and effort to keep up with what all the changes are.
Fantastic. This sounds like a great event. SQLSaturday.com. That's SQLSaturday.com. If you have a question for Josh, he'll be here for a few more minutes. You can text us, tweet us at SDPB, email your questions midday@sdpb.org, or simply swing by our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio, and post your comment or question there. Don't be shy. The phone number is 800-524-3604. Again, at SDPB is the Twitter handle, and the email address midday@sdpb.org. Guys, Joel, we've had other programming things in the news this week. The Worldwide Developers Conference happened with Apple.
Yes, that was not this last week, but the week before that. Okay. So there's lots of news there. I think maybe we have a question, but if you want to talk about that now, we sure can.
What question did we? I
didn't see it. There was a question on Twitter, if I remember correctly.
Oh, we want to get right into that?
Yeah, might as well just hammer it out.
Okay.
That way, if more people want to, ask
sure,
questions.
Sure, sure, sure. We had a question come in on Twitter right before the show started. This is from @dwade, not Dwayne Wade, the basketball player. His name's Dan Wade. And Dan asked, a couple of the big social media platforms are rolling out some new products. So Twitter is rolling out, just announced a product. We don't even really know quite about it yet, but called Events. It's called Lightning, but it's going to be based around events to get more users who don't have to be users, just to get more people on the product of Twitter, even though you don't have to sign up. So how can you consume tweets and listen to influencers around a topic when a big event happens, like, the NBA finals or an election? So they're rolling out that. And Pinterest has just rolled out their first kind of buy now button. So when you're on Pinterest and you're looking at some of these crafts or these clothes or house items that you like, you can then click right through and buy them. So that obviously that's a revenue platform and a commerce platform that they've built in. So the question
seems like a natural step.
Yeah, absolutely. So the question from Dan was what he thought, which one will be more successful? Twitter talking about events to a wider audience, or Pinterest building in kind of commerce through Buy Now?
I'm voting for Pinterest. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's hard to tell. Twitter has such saturation, and it's just so easy to adopt. I mean, you know, your friends might be, John, you could probably say more about this. Your friends and colleagues might be really into Pinterest, but if you go worldwide, Pinterest doesn't even show up on the radar in lots of countries, but Twitter is kind of the social media platform as far as I'm concerned. So I would never count Twitter out on
sure.
something like that.
Yeah, I mean, your Facebook, WhatsApp, those have even larger, but Twitter is certainly a very, compared to Pinterest, much larger.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think what Twitter's struggling to do is a lot of early adopters sign up, and they don't know what to do, right? You don't know who to follow, or you don't find this relevant. You follow your cousin who talks about eating a sandwich, and you just don't find any value, and then you leave Twitter. And so what they're trying to do is create less of a barrier to entry. Maybe you don't even need to create a profile, but you just want to consume tweets. I mean, when you do things like watch the NBA Finals or watch the Oscars, that's where Twitter is really at its finest. Because
well, that's that second screen. That's kind of a whole other thing. That's a second screen experience
yep.
that goes along with, in this case, the broadcast industry.
Yeah,
and so
media.
And there, I think people are looking to express their opinions, or if they don't have somebody sitting on the couch next to them to talk about it, you've got somebody sitting on the couch next to you. If you get your iPad in your lap or your iPhone or your Android device, you can tweet with other people that like watching that particular show, whatever it is.
Yeah, the percentage of people, yeah, using a second device, even some people, three devices, three screens, you know, the TV being one, and then like phone and iPad or phone and laptop when they're watching TV.
Yeah, I haven't quite mastered two yet. Well, I have mastered two. Three, I would have to probably work on that. I don't know. Do you sit and tweet while you watch TV?
No, I'm not a big social media person, but 605 Sequel kind of forced me to get into it. It's pretty incredible. Really, like you talked about the influencers, how many people kind of rally around certain individuals and events, and what it can create in a day. You know, we had one tweet about our 605 Sequel Saturday, and the next thing we know, 1,000 people know our event's happening in Sioux Falls. Unfortunately, only 5 of them were from Sioux Falls, but it still helps. You know, it's incredible what that one person can do to influence one thing across such a large network.
Yeah,
that reach is incredible. We found that with using hashtags and some of our sports events that we broadcast on SDPB TV, we can have reach in, you know, 500,000 people by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, it's an incredible thing. So what do you think?
Yeah, I probably agree, but I'm also a little biased because I'm not a big Pinterest person.
Yeah.
I mean, so the Pinterest platform, purchasing platform, like you said, just makes a lot of sense. Like, that just seemed like the natural step.
Yeah.
And you could argue maybe they'll have a quicker route to revenue than Twitter, because that's what Twitter's struggling, right? They have all these people and all these people talking and making noise, but they're still trying to figure out truly how to monetize it. And they have the advertising platform and... But Twitter, I just feel like the world needs Twitter more than a lot of the social media platforms we are. And, you know, and you look at things like
how it blew up
way back when and during the, you know, the Arab Spring. And
One of the things I think constantly about Twitter is, you know, people, it's like Kleenex. I mean, you just assume it's there, and you just assume that if you're thinking of somebody or, you know, you want some news, one of the first places I go is Twitter. If I want something, you know, if I want to know what's going on right this second somewhere, or if a news story is blowing up, or if, you know, I want to find a celebrity or a sports star, I want to find out what they're doing or what they're really like. It's almost less of a platform and more of an assumption at this point, as far as I'm concerned.
Explain the Kleenex analogy.
Well, it's just, I think it's the Kleenex of social media. Like, I'm going to go get a Kleenex. I'm going to go to, when somebody says, I'm going to go check social media.
Sure, you think
they mean Twitter. I mean, they mean Twitter, and then they mean whatever else they're going to check.
Okay.
But nobody says, well, make sure it goes out on social media platforms. They don't mean everything but Twitter. They mean Twitter and anything else.
Okay.
That's what they mean.
Sure, sure.
It's very powerful. So if we have listeners to the show and they're thinking, you know, I should maybe go out and get a Twitter handle and begin this, where do you recommend they do that? Just go sign up and dip your big toe in, or is there a place we can go?
Well, you got to go to twitter.com to get a Twitter handle.
Yep.
That's where you sign up.
Yep.
And I think what they're trying to do a better job of is making recommendations on who to follow early days.
They're already doing this?
Yeah. So when you sign up, there's some onboard. They've been doing that for a while, but you know, it used to be like celebrities. Follow Taylor Swift, follow CNN or things like that. So I think they're trying, you got to think about what interests you and follow people around those topics.
Yeah.
Because when you just start following your uncle, your brother, your mom.
And then but as soon as you pick a few, they'll just start rolling in, you know, you can.
And that's where I really failed when I got my Twitter handle was I started following people in my industry.
Sure.
And then it started suggesting, and it's like, oh, I got to do that and I got to do that.
You know, I'll give a totally off the topic recommendation for anybody new to Twitter.
Yeah.
And you like comedy, go find some comedy names out there and follow them. Because if you want a brighter day, just follow some comedy writers, and the observations are always short. You don't have to get too involved unless you're like me and an hour and a half in and you're reading somebody's Twitter feed back to 2014.
Well, I think I heard a podcast with like Patton Oswalt talking about how Twitter has changed the way he does comedy.
I mean, they use the
platform as a place to practice jokes.
And then go into their people that they follow and then find those comedians. Some of those are some kind of Twitter only comedians that some names I shouldn't probably give because of the content they might have, but just great stuff. That's actually the number one use for me for Twitter is to read comedy.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
So great.
Totally.
There's business applications and there's Twitter. There's
absolutely.
Certainly entertainment applications.
It's the Kleenex of social media.
I think we're going to trademark that. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get Jeff talking about E3 that did happen this week. We are going to get to WWDC, as it's called, and maybe talk a little bit about 3D mobile gaming. But we certainly want to thank Joshua Warren here from First Bank and Trust in Brookings. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
All right. First Bank and Trust, he's the director and founder of the 605 SQL User Group, whose SQL Saturday is in July, July 18th.
Absolutely.
This year. So SQLSaturday.com, and we hope a lot of people take you up on that. Registration's open now, correct?
Correct. You can register up to the day of the event, and, you know, again, go check it out, see who's coming, what's happening. It's a one-day free training event, really a great, fantastic opportunity. You'd pay up to $1,000 to have this type of training if you were to go anywhere else. So check us out, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here.
And we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered the experts to help guide you and a host of areas. And you just might have questions about. The experts are here in the studios of KCSD. We have Joel Brovelite here, our resident Mac guru. And we have John T. Meyer here from Lemonly. And you do infographics and other great things at Lemonly. If you don't know that, check that out on the web. And from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Peer, Jeff Litterick is here. Jeff, we had a big week with E3. I was bombarded with requests to go watch live streams of the announcements of games and sequels to games and other things. What'd you get out of the conference this week?
Well, there were the a few surprises, as always, which are probably the biggest news by far out of E3. And then, of course, you have the old standbys, the series that get updated every year, and everyone mm-hmm. knows that's coming and stuff. Probably the two biggest items I took out, three, is the whole Fallout. There's a game series called Fallout. It's been out for quite a few years, and they announced the new Fallout 4, which will be coming out this fall. Now, at the same time, totally surprising everybody, they also announced a mobile app called Fallout Shelter. And while Fallout's been really popular, it's kind of like on par with the Elder Scrolls series of games like Skyrim and Morrowind, for those out there who've played that. I was really surprised how many people were really serious about Fallout, because Fallout Shelter is already the number one game on the iOS store. It's actually surpassed Candy Crush. It is going gangbusters. So it looks good for Fallout 4. The game's looking great. The series has always been great. It's one of the better series out there. In fact, I have many a friend and me who still play the last in the series, Fallout New Vegas. So, and that's, you know, almost 3 years now. So it's a great series. People even play out the old Fallout 3 and even the Fallout 2 and Fallout from, you know, almost a decade ago. So the other real big news was for the Sony fans who like the old games. And you know, this is going to be a theme on the big news. It's kind of retro gaming this time around. And the big news is Final Fantasy Remake. The very first Final Fantasy that came out for the PlayStation back in the day and blew everyone away and was one of the best sellers is being remade for the PS4 and Xbox One. And we don't have any dates on that yet, but that was a humongous announcement. And then the last one was for Nintendo fans. You know, Nintendo's kind of gone to the back burner for a couple of years now with their new Wii U and stuff like that. But they're actually coming out with something that got everyone really excited. There's a new Kingdom Hearts game coming out for those people that like Japanese RPGs. But the big news is Star Fox. They're actually remaking Star Fox 64, which came out on the Nintendo 64, with new levels and new vehicles and stuff, and bringing it on the Wii U. So that has been, you know, kind of regenerating interest in Nintendo, which has been kind of waning for a while in the serious gamer stuff.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, Jeff. I haven't heard much about Wii U. It seems like it kind of came out and just kind of faded away.
Really, and then all of a sudden we get Star Fox, the new Smash Brothers coming out. There's a new Mario game coming out that looks good. But Star Fox was kind of, you know, it tied at E3 at least all the old gamers that remember the famous Star Fox 64 and really was very fond of that game. So if you kind of notice, of the biggest news, almost all of them were old games or series from very old games. It's, you know, it's kind of interesting. There was a lot of other stuff. Heroes of the Storm came out for free earlier this month, a couple weeks ago, and that's been doing really good. That's a Blizzard game, kind of like based on League of Legends, but free to play. You know, it's been kind of a good summer here for gaming, and there's a few other games coming up before the big fall release that is looking pretty good. And Steam, of course, it's E3, so Steam is doing their humongous summer sale. I picked up a couple of games I've been looking at for like $4 each. So it's actually been a good month and a good week with E3, not only for the new game announcements, but for the games in the past you might want on Steam that are super cheap now.
Great tip. Heard a fantastic interview this morning on NPR. Mr. Miyamoto talked about the father of Mario and Donkey Kong, talked about the origins of some of his famous characters, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
to hear that. But, you know, Super Mario Brothers, like 30 years old this year. It's kind of hard to believe that. And then it was a look ahead at you can basically, they have a way to create your own levels, bringing that platform back, or bringing that back to the new platform. And then NPR kind of went, well, you know, that new platform really isn't kind of taken off, but you know, maybe it will. I don't know, the bringing back some of these games. Maybe they'll
get some
interest.
Yeah, one of the things any platform needs. I mean, Xbox has their Halo and their big Gears of War, which is, they're producing a new one. We don't have a release date on that, but there's a new Gears of War coming out. Sony has their big names and stuff. Nintendo has probably the biggest though of all three dedicated fan base to their sort of game series, Super Mario, Super Metroid, I should say Super, but Metroid, Mario, Star Fox, all those, you know, Kingdom
kind of
Hearts.
Legacy games, yeah.
Yeah, they have great fan followings. It's just been, they haven't been coming out on the Wii U yet, so maybe now that they're coming out, Wii U will actually get that steam going, because otherwise, why buy a console if the games you want to play aren't out on it yet, so.
Well, and I think it's no different than you're seeing entertainment of all media forms, movies and TV shows. It's all remakes, right? Like some of the things we're seeing more and more, but the same stories being retold and told in a slightly different way, and sequels. And so I'm not surprised that games are following.
There were a few new ones, but I mean, the biggest news was the retro games. One of the things I'm looking forward to, and they have a new trailer. I play EVE Online, but they're actually coming out with a game, fast action game for the Oculus VR system, which will be has now been announced, will be out next year if you have the computer specs to run it. It looks fantastic, even on a 2D screen where, you know, they're moving the head around and the demo at E3 and stuff. It just looks fantastic. Of course, the Oculus system needs a very top-end PC to be able to run the graphics it requires, but the graphics are there. So, and there were a couple other VR games that really, you know, shocked people, but that's, you know, kind of next year kind of thing before anyone's really going to be able to take any advantage of that stuff. And there were a few games coming out, like The Last Guardian, which everyone's been waiting for 5, 6, 7 years now. I mean, Bated Beth, we know it's still in development, still no release date, but there's a few new ones that have high hopes. It's being dominated this year a lot by the retro.
My game, of course, announced a sequel, and of course, you know, pre-sale, and that kind of went nuts, or I got the buzz of all the people I play with. So it was a big week in gaming for sure. Certainly want to encourage people to, if you have questions, to get a hold of us. You can call us 800-524-3604. That's 524-3604. Simply swing by Facebook, facebook.com/techradio. If you'd like to post a question there, it's super simple. And of course, the preferred way, I guess, that we hear most from Midday, MIDDAY at SDPB.org. The email address, midday@sdpb.org. July 17th is our next Tech Radio. We've got a host of things going on in the beginning part of July, and lots of events. A lot of public broadcasters are out in the hills for Neutrino Days and the Governor's Ag Conference, and lots of things going on. But of course, we'll be back on the 17th. It's the day before SQL Saturday, as well as, I believe, Jazz Fest in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So that's about right. So this summer is really cruising along. And make note, July 17th, we'll be back with more Tech Radio. Joel, what's going on with 3D mobile gaming? Have you heard more about that?
I don't know about 3D mobile gaming. That's just a lot of buzzwords to put all together. But there are a lot at E3 this week. People got to see some of the new virtual reality headsets that are being put out by Sony. Theirs is called Morpheus, and it's going to hook to the PlayStation 4. Microsoft's is called HoloLens, I believe, and I think that's for the Xbox, both for games. And then Jeff already talked about Oculus. What he didn't mention, and I think we mentioned on the show, is that that's actually a company owned by Facebook.
They're acquired.
Oculus is owned by Facebook. So
started
Facebook,
on Kickstarter, I believe.
Yeah, it did, in fact. So those are kind of the three big players in the headset-worn VR goggles. They're like the ones we've been seeing for 15 years, except for now they don't suck. They're much better now.
Those things used to weigh like 25 pounds.
Well, I'm not sure that they're still not heavy, but the processing power is now so cheap in comparison to be able to run all of this virtual reality in a headset and projected onto your eyes, that it's just being more possible. I think the biggest news in virtual reality is the fact that virtual reality is going to start slowly creeping into everything. I think virtual reality or augmented reality, which is probably more likely, the difference between those two,
sure.
Virtual reality would be you put the goggles on and you're in a completely different environment, and an application for work could be you could be manning a ship 1,000 miles away using the virtual reality. You're on deck and you can see everything that you're supposed to see, but you're safely somewhere else. You could see lots of applications for that. Augmented reality, which is more likely to kind of permeate into everyday life, you know, whether that's your car windshield or your glasses like Google Glass, things like that, allow you to see kind of 3D objects and interface objects as well as see the real world. And that could be a real big boon to people like surgeons or anybody that needs access to information, but they don't want to have things in their hands, and they don't want computer screens around, and that environment, that augmented reality environment, needs to change. So these three devices that we saw at E3 this week are kind of the tip of the iceberg, and really they will be out there more as development for these 3D companies to put out kind of the real augmented reality that we're going to see. So I wouldn't say it's blowing up so much as it's now starting to be possible in the same way that smartphones were possible 10 years ago.
Starting to mature a little bit.
Yeah.
For like example, when Oculus released their specs, you have to realize in that headset is actually better resolution than almost everybody's HD TV is today. And people are already talking about giving it the IMAX type experience when watching movies and stuff too. So it's just not games. It's going to be multiple applications, and it's almost to retina display type qualities at 90 hertz refresh rates on dual screens. You're going to see a lot of applications that are just not games for it.
Well, absolutely, like because you can get a high-resolution display. You can get a super high-resolution display when your display can be really small. You know, it's very expensive and to produce a display that's, a 4K, 8K display that's, 8 feet by 4 feet. Obviously, there isn't one of those, but you can get a lot more resolution off of a much smaller LCD, which is kind of the advantage with these headsets. But Jeff is absolutely right. Everybody thinks that VR, virtual reality, is all about games, but in 10-15 years, it's just going to be everywhere. That would be like saying that computers are just for games. If you'd have said that 20 years ago, I think some people would have been like, "Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We should get back to our typewriters." But the reality is quite a bit different from how things actually work out.
The training possibilities and business use of these is amazing.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
And people are already starting to do that. Believe it or not, it's time to take another quick break. And after we get back, we will, trust me, we will get to the Worldwide Developers Conference from Apple that we've been promising the whole show. And we will touch briefly on the Samsung phone issues that seem to be cropping up. Do we have some iPhone things to talk about as well?
Yeah, there's all sorts of announcements in WWDC. So yeah, we'll hit them all.
We'll do that right after this. And welcome back to the third half of Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've got Joel Borovalite in the studio today. We have John T. Meyer from Lemonly. And joining us on the phone from the Bureau is Jeff Litterick. Big weekend coming up, guys, but we want to reflect on some things that have happened over the weekend, over the last couple of weeks. One news item I wanted to get to today, and I want to make sure I talked about this. You got a Boston-based company has announced its expansion into Vermilion. This is from the the Equalizer in Vermilion. Sensio Systems, a Boston-based provider of artificial intelligence-based complex care management technology, has announced its intent to create a regional hub in Vermilion, according to a press release released by the Governor's Office of Economic Development. So there's not much more to this story that I have here. There is definitely more to come. And check out sdpb.org later, and we'll talk more about what that actually means and explain it a little bit better for folks.
Cool.
But big Boston-based company coming to Vermilion to do some technology. What could be better?
Absolutely.
Want to get through that. Worldwide Developers Conference, Joel.
It's a conference every year that Apple puts on for its developers from around the world. It's kind of built into the name. Developers are the people that write the software for the devices that you might download, whether that's Angry Birds or whether that's Twitter or database program for your Mac. Apple puts this on and trains people on the new software platform, new language they're using. Of course, they always use that as an opportunity to announce some stuff. I've got a list of 10 here, the biggest announcements from there. I think it's pretty complete. I'm just going to...
Do we need a drum roll?
No, but I'll just okay. go real 10. Quick through them. They announced a new version, and they do this every year, of their desktop operating system, OS 10.11, code name El Capitan is going to be the name. That's going to be out in the fall.
They're all named after national parks.
In California.
Right.
Right.
Or state parks, then.
State parks, yeah. Actually, El Capitan is actually in Yosemite. So it's a place in the national park. They made a point to point that out.
Okay.
There's going to be a new version of the mobile OS, iOS 9. They, again, do that every year, and that's going to be out. It's already in developer release now and should be out in a few months, certainly by the fall. There's a new version of the Watch OS, which is coming out around the same time. Add some features and some things. I'm sure we'll talk about that as that gets closer. They've updated Siri in the new version of the operating system. This is kind of a big deal. Instead of just Siri reacting to requests, Siri, which is the mobile assistant built into your iOS device, will now go ahead and be proactive and do things for you. So if you happen to be pulled up, say, at a bank, and when you're at the bank, you need your credit card number, if you do that a few times, Siri will pull that up for you. I kind of made that one up. I'm not sure if I'll actually do that now that I think about it. But when you plug in your headphones in the morning to go for a run and you normally turn music on, it will start doing that for you. It will add phone calls, numbers into your address book automatically if you want it to. So it will start to do more things for you as an assistant should. They've expanded Apple Pay to the UK, which is a big market and kind of a big deal for them. Apple Pay is the mobile payment system. One of the cool announcements I thought was Apple Maps is going to have public transit built in. Not such a big deal for Sioux Falls, but if you've ever gone to another city and you wanted a transit map of the subway or the buses, that kind of thing, that's going to be built in and give you walking directions from where you get out from the subway to where you go in, not just where that subway station is, which is a great deal. I'm not sure if any other map companies do that, but they will soon. They've gotten rid of Newsstand, which is an app that was on your phone that allowed newspapers and periodicals to publish those things to your iPad in kind of a PDF form. They've gotten rid of that, I think probably mostly because publishers didn't really use it. And now they've got a new app called News, where they're going to, in the same way Facebook does, kind of aggregate stories from different providers so that you don't have to, like, open up this New York Times and then go through the whole thing to find the stories. It will learn what you want, and the sources will be things like New York Times.
It's supposed to be a competitor like Flipboard.
Oh, I love Flipboard.
Yeah. And so that's what it is, built in, and they've made tools that are easy for people to publish to that. So that, I think, is a really big update. Probably the biggest news is Apple Music. That if you heard anything about 2 weeks ago, Apple's WWDC announcement, it was about Apple Music. That's going to come out at the end of the month. I'm sure we'll talk about it on the next show. A lot of big, interesting things there. It's a pay service, and they have kind of a throwback. They actually have real live radio stations with real live DJs that they've hired for this service. So
going after like a Spotify type of competitor.
And suppose XM. And
yeah, I would say Pandora, anybody that provides that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
How much do they price point?
I think it's $10 a month. Is that right?
I was going to say nine.
$9.99.
Yeah. It's definitely part of the big
integration. $9 a month. This is kind of a nice deal. $15 a month for a family plan lets you share it between six people. The best part about that is people's like, well, I'll just buy the $10 one and share it. You could do that. But at $15, everybody can have their own manicured playlist so that your daughter's
Taylor Swift
kids bop 10, even 11, younger. And 12 doesn't get mixed in with your Prince playlist.
So this has got radio stations, but it's also got
streaming
playlists. So it is sort of like Spotify.
It's exactly like Spotify.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like that. It has some other ancillary services for artists that allow you to kind of upload content for your fans and things like that.
Well, when they acquired Beats, headphone. It wasn't just the headphone company. It was also partly
the whole
Beats
thing,
Music, which is kind of integrated into this.
Okay. And the radio station is actually referring to that. It's called Beats One.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the... So we'll see how that all, when that rolls out, that would be very interesting. There were some other announcements. We don't need to get into those, but some other good stuff. You can watch the WWDC stream, the live announcements. You can watch that with some great performances on it, too, just by going to their website.
Obviously, the challenge for Apple is they've come to a level that people expect gigantic innovation every year, and so I think some people considered this WWDC a little bit of a disappointment.
Well, yeah, I always think that's funny. People, when
the
when there's no hardware, people think Apple hasn't done anything. But if you dig into the software that they've announced, there's a lot of really great stuff there. But software just, and I don't know when that will change, but software just never impresses anyone.
Yeah, you can't talk.
Have they even begun to scratch? That's a funny. Scratch the surface of Apple Watch. As far as what the potential for that is in developing apps and,
well, that was one of the announcements they talked about. They're now,
they'll be opening it up. Right?
Yeah, they're opening the apps up to developing native apps on the watch instead of just companion apps for your device, for your phone, that also work on the watch. That should be really interesting. I do think, the watch is great. I love it. It's been received very well by, I haven't seen a bad review of it. Other than a few picky
things. I think people like the watch, but they just don't find it like a necessity. It's an addition, right?
Oh, definitely. I don't think it's a necessity either. But as more developers come on board and figure out great ways to use it, I think that's when we're going to start to see it. But again, I think they're really smart about rolling it out slowly. Mm-hmm. If they open it up and say you can do whatever you want right off the bat, then they can't make sure and tailor it.
They're following the recipe they did with the iPhone and
absolutely.
The iPad.
People don't remember the original iPhone. There were no third-party apps. There was not a third-party app. There was one page of apps.
Jobs didn't want that. They really pushed him to open that up eventually.
I think he had to be convinced. I think he convinced himself. But
sure.
At first he was like, no, they'll do a terrible job.
Yeah.
And I think to some extent, he was probably right until they figured out.
Yeah,
to do
at first, the apps are not what they are today.
Some did, some didn't.
Yeah,
like you said, Flipboard was my killer app when I got an iPad for me. But it's interesting how there was a story about how a lot of the younger kids are getting their news basically off of Facebook, and so Facebook developed an area where they can streamline. They can mainline more news into the Facebook feeds.
Yep.
And so there's just been a kind of a reaction to that, and it's very interesting, very interesting. Last show we talked at the very end about the little vulnerability when people could text the Arabic characters and shut down people's iPhones. We did talk about that, right?
We did, yeah. And I had two people try and send me one right after the show.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm totally not kidding.
But recently, there's been some vulnerabilities on the Samsung side of the house. So, there's 600 million Samsung phones that have a nasty vulnerability. Jeff, do you know? Are you following that? I know they're working on an update to try to take care of that vulnerability. But do you have any news for us?
Not this time. You just kind of have to wait for the update at this point because there's not a lot else anyone can do. And there's even some new ones out just as of today for Android phones. Many apps are not implementing security correctly and exposing your names and passwords and stuff. So there's a big kind of thing going around about that right now with app security also. So.
Well, hopefully we'll get that cleaned up. The more awareness, the vulnerability came in through the keyboard on the current problem.
Yeah, the Swift key vulnerability. Let's hackers take control of the entire device, and it looks like be waiting for an update from Samsung imminently. Maybe even as we are on air now.
Great, the sooner the better for me. John, I know one thing that you wanted to talk about today. There's a neat product out that goes along with your Nest. If you've got the Google thermostat that we've talked about on the show a lot, there's a new Google bought drop cam.
Yeah, they did. So Nest, we've talked about before, the smart thermostat, and then also Fire what's the word? Carbon monoxide monitor.
Yes.
And fire monitor. So they, a couple years ago.
Smoke detector.
Smoke detector. Thank
yeah,
you.
No, I last time we talked about it, I had the same problem.
So Dropcam was acquired by Google, and also Nest before that was acquired by Google.
That's
so now
the turducken of
a little
of,
bit.
Of,
so to make
there.
It more connected, they relaunched a new app and now also added, called it Nest Cam. So in your Nest app, you can have your, you can monitor your thermostat from remote, change the temperature at your home, make sure that there's no issues with smoke detector or carbon monoxide, and then also even see what's going on in your house. So it's a little camera, almost like you think back to, you know, the little cameras that would check on babysitters or check on, you know, like a baby monitor or the security camera at your office.
Yeah, it looks just like a net cam.
Yeah,
you know, the original.
Just a little, set it up on a shelf, and you can stream in real time what's going on at your home, at your office. And it even uses audio over the device. So the example they show in the website is like the dog gets up on the couch he's not supposed to be in, and the lady at work is like talking into her phone and says, you know, hey, Spot, get down from the couch. And you can actually, you know, the audio comes through.
Has night vision, has a light in it that goes to about 20 feet.
Yeah, so the cam itself is $199 to set it up, and then you stream in real time, stream it live. And then the brilliant business model is they now will have like a subscription service. I think it's $10 a month if you want to be able to go back and look at footage. So right now, if you opened up the app, you can only see what's happening in the moment. But if an office got there was burglary, or you want to
see
what
happened. That's the brilliant part about it is it sounds expensive for a consumer, but when you say $200 plus $10 a month for a security cam for your business, that's a bargain if you've ever looked into security cams.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clever, and of course it also works with a lot of the developer apps like If This Then That. So there's lots of functionality you could do. If something goes by your camera, you could then tell it to flash your Hue lights red, or you could do all sorts of crazy stuff like turn the coffee maker on as you walk by in the morning. Pretty great home automation.
Yeah,
stuff.
Just a brilliant. And there's a lot of companies really trying to make a play at the smart home. You know, Samsung acquired, or is it Sony? Who acquired SmartThings? SmartThings was a company based out of Minneapolis. And so Nest, certainly, the way that it all integrates into one beautiful app, I mean, it's amazing. You're going to see more and more innovation from them in the years to come.
Absolutely. Hey, quick update on the Galaxy phone thing. The patch is out already, but here's the deal. It has to be pushed by your mobile network. So if you're on Verizon or AT&T or whoever it is, you've got to go to them to get that pushed update. So if you haven't seen it yet and you have a device that the Galaxy Samsung S6 or S6 Edge, S4 Mini, if you have any of those, you need to talk to your carrier, not Samsung, to get that update. Make sure that that's good.
And that's
done.
That's pretty standard,
yes.
I believe. So please do that. We are coming to the end of another show. Forward Promote, of course, our next show, and that will be July 17th, the only show in July. So it'll be a big, important one, and I won't be here, unfortunately, but I will probably try to listen in from Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, huh?
It'll be a great show, I'm sure, without me. The day before SQL Saturday, we had Josh Warren here. He's the founder and director of the 605 SQL user group. And if you wanted more information on that, the address, of course, was SQL Saturday or sqlsaturday.com. Very easy to get to. And, of course, SDPB is always there for you with our app for your smartphone, be it Android or iPhone. Please go and check that out as well. Or we're always there for you also on the web, sdpb.org. If you go to that site and click listen, you will find lots of news, lots of South Dakota news and NPR news, and a freshly designed website for you. And, of course, podcasts of today's show if you want to go back and listen to the show once again if you joined us late. That is all the time we have for today. Have a great weekend, everybody.